Some of you may have heard of a man named King Leonidas. He was a king of the city-state Sparta in Greece. This was during a time that they were being oppressed by Persia and the king Artaxerxes, who is actually mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. King Leonidas led one of the most incredible battles in recorded history. So what does Gideon have in common with King Leonidas? In 480 BC, King Leonidas had an army of about 67,000, and they're going to force the Persian army down a coastal pass called Thermopylae that he knew they were going to go through. But he was betrayed, and his army ended up being surrounded. So to save his people, Leonidas sent most of his soldiers home, except for 300. This 300 stayed to fight the Persian army. The 300 met King Artaxerxes at this coastal pass and fought and died. Like King Leonidas, Gideon took 300 of his soldiers to fight a nation oppressing the land. But Gideon had one thing that Leonidas did not: God. When you have God on your side, he can change your playing field a lot. It was during the time period of the judges, and the Israelites were almost stuck in a cycle where they were obedient to God, they sinned, they cried out for help, then God sent a deliverer, and when the deliverer died, they went back in the same cycle. They were stuck in the cycle for about 300 years. It was during this time that the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites, and God sent Gideon. Gideon was humble and meek right from the beginning. In Judges 6:15, Gideon said his clan was the weakest, and he is the least of his father's house. Not the typical traits of a general, of a great general, or somebody who takes out an entire nation with just 300 soldiers. Originally, he had 30,000 soldiers, but God didn't want the Israelites to take credit. In Judges chapter 7, where I'll be spending most of my time, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return to part early from Mount Gilead. And there returned people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So there's only 10,000 people left, and right after that, God says that he wants less of an army, that there's too many people for him. And right in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee." So basically, everyone who doesn't drink the water the right way goes home. And down in verse 6, we read that there's 300 left. So God wants a man who has no military experience to take only 300 soldiers against a whole nation with about 50 times the amount of soldiers, and probably a much more experienced general on their side. Looking at the numbers, that seems quite unfair. As anyone who would be in that position, they were scared. In verse 10, God says, "If he's scared, to go down with his servant Pharaoh, and you shall hear what he wants to hear." Verse 14, he goes down there, and the man says, "And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else, save the sword of the Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all this host." He basically says that God's giving him this place. And then a couple of verses down, we read that he gives him all a trumpet with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. Verse 20 says, "And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers, and held lamps in their left hands and trumpets in their right hands to blow." That leaves no room for them to hold a sword in either hand. So how can they fight a battle with no sword? God shows them exactly how he wants them to fight in verse 17. And he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me will blow the trumpets. Also on every side of the camp and say, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." He gives some pretty strange battle strategies where he doesn't even want them to fight. All he wants them to do is blow a trumpet. Let's see how the battle went, starting in the middle of verse 19. "The beginning of the middle of the watch, and they had but nearly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' And they stood every man in his place round and about the camp. All of the host ran and cried and fled. And 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host." God caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other. The NIV says that that God caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. They won without any soldiers having any weapons except for one, God. They shouted, "The sword of the Lord." What is the sword of the Lord? Deuteronomy 32:41 says, "If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I'll render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me." This seems like a pretty powerful sword, a sword that truly triumphs all. This year at LTC, we came to a conclusion that the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. So if the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ, then how does this relate? Well, both Jesus and Gideon were humble and meek right in the beginning. Gideon calls himself the least. They're also both deliverers. Just as Gideon delivered the Israelites from the Midianites, Jesus delivers us from our sins. God is the majority and will always win. Just as God was with Gideon and made his army greater than a whole nation. Romans 8:31, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" God still has a mighty sword. In Deuteronomy 32:41, the NIV says, "God is sharpening his sword." We have a sword, and God keeps it sharp for us. He fights our battles. Judges 8:22-23, "The men of Israel want Gideon to rule over them because he delivered them from the Midianites. He declines and says, 'It is the Lord, that the Lord shall rule over them, and because it was at the Lord's hand that they were delivered. And with his sword, we shall win.' And this is the sword that he gives us. And just like any warrior, sword master, or samurai, we have to train with our sword, know our sword. Let me share with you one last verse, Ephesians 6:17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." He gives us a whole army, and every single piece is defensive, except for one, that one last piece, which is the sword. He gives us it as our only offense, and is ours to use. It is sharper than any sword created by man, and none can beat this sword.